الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
السلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك يا نور الله
Hello Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel welcome back to our beautiful silsila, beautiful program. And Alhamdulillah Azawajal, good news is mashallah today's panel where we have Tawfiq Bhai and Hafiz Sahab. Today we have Khalid Bhai with us as well. Before we do anything else, inshallah Azawajal, let's go towards the recitation of the Quran. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi
wa sallam. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الله يبسط الرزق لمن يشاء ويقدر وفرحوا بالحياة الدنيا وما الحياة الدنيا في الآخرة إلا متاع ويقول الذين كفروا لولا أنزل عليه آية من ربه قل إن الله يضل من يشاء قل إن الله يضل من يشاء ويهدي إليه من أناب الذين آمنوا وتطمئن قلوبهم بذكر الله ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب صدق الله العظيم يا مصطفى يا مجتبى
زلف یا مشکی
شب زلف یا مشک خدا یہ بھی نہیں وہ بھی نہیں صلی علی 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 صلی علی
Seriously, my dear Islam brothers, alhamdulillah, whenever you listen to the recitation of the Quran, you know, if you really listen to the words, and especially the verse that was recited today, Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub, that no doubt in the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal, there is satisfaction of the hearts. Alhamdulillah, no doubt the Quran is a beautiful source of satisfaction and the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal, and especially in this day and age where people are worried, people have so many worries at home, work-wise, financial worries, there's one solution, and that solution is the Quran.
SubhanAllah.
So please try to take some time out, recite the Quran, and alhamdulillah azawajal, you'll see your worries go away and you will not even realize. Allah Ta'ala, He mentions in the Quran, especially for those people who are worried about, you know, financial thing, people are thinking financial crisis, you know, what has the world come to, and people are really, really worried at this time. But don't remember that Allah Azza wa Jal is the one, the source of everything. Allah Ta'ala, He mentions in the Quran, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُ. That Allah Azza wa Jal will give you rizq from that source that you never even dreamt of, thought of. So don't worry about anything. Leave it in the court of Allah. Keep making du'as, plenty of du'as in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, our du'as will be accepted.
Inshallah.
May Allah Ta'ala remove all the problems and worries from every Muslim around the world. And may Allah Azza wa Jal, Inshallah Azza wa Jal, give us that time back again that we could be free and Alhamdulillah doing the work of deen. Ji, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, if you just joined us, you are watching our beautiful programs. Our today topic will be the importance of eating halal. Now, I deliberately had that topic, the importance of eating halal. But remember, the first thing is, it is important to earn halal before you can eat halal. You know, there's 1.7 billion Muslims around the world. You know, people living all around the world. And everyone, you know, at this moment of time is worrying, how can I earn a lot of wealth? How can I, you know, people are trying to fulfill their desires. But my dear Islam brothers, you know, we've got these plans that when I get my money, I'm going to buy this, I'm going to buy that, I'm going to spend it on my children's education. But before we do that, let me just mention one hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And because Khalid bhai is here, we're going to start off with him, inshallah. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam quoted in Bukhari Sharif, the mafhum, a time will come upon the people when one will not care how one gains his Allah own money, Akbar, legally Allah or illegally. There will be a time. And my dear Islam brothers, just think to yourself, for me, is that time here now? Where's my wealth coming from? Where's my earning coming from? I want you to be part of this program. You know, we've got our panel of brothers here, mashallah, azawajal. And I want you to be part of this as well. If you got any experiences of your life, you know, we had one Islamic brother, Khalid, and mashallah, it fits in with today's topic. And he sent me a message and he says that he applied for a job through an agency. And what happened was that the agency, they found a job from a local company, which was only about a mile and a half down my road. But what happened was that that company phoned me up and they said, we'll give you the job, but don't go through the agency. And he goes, look, I'm a Muslim, I can't do that. The agency is the one who found this work for me. So I don't want to be going through that.
Allah
the
Allah
only
Allah.
Reason was that they will have to pay the fees to the agency as well. So he says that, look, I'm sorry, I can't do that. They've helped me and I just want to go through them. And he goes, the agency rang me up and they said, we've never seen 25 years of my experience,
Allah
I've
Allah
never
Allah.
Met anyone like you.
Allah
you know,
Allah.
So Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, he did get the job in that same company, but that is what you call earning halal money.
And it's being honest, which is again a virtue of being a Muslim. I mean, you mentioned at the beginning, Hafsab, that, you know, this topic today is halal food. And you rightly said that it's not only the halal food, but where that halal food has come from. And in front of me, I have the Tafsir Siratul Jinan, Mufti Sahib has written here. And he says here that halal and pure means that thing which itself is halal, such as goat, meat, vegetables, and lentils, and which we obtain through permissible means. That is, it should not be obtained by means of theft, bribery, and robbery, etc. I think, Hafsab, that's the main problem. I think, you know, when you speak to many Muslims, and you know yourself that, alhamdulillah, you know, mashallah, you've gone out on the streets, you've invited people to the path of righteousness, you've called people to the masjid, and you meet people on the streets that have committed all sorts of sins.
Mm-hmm.
They drink alcohol, they smoke pot, weed, heroin, you name it, they've done it, they've committed adultery, theft, burglary, they've never in namaz in years, they've never fasted. But one sin that I've not found, maybe you can say, halabai, sorry, I have found it, I've not found anybody eating pork.
No.
I've not found anybody eating pork. And so Muslims know that that is haram. Muslims mm-hmm. know that that food is haram. But then same people that won't eat pork will earn that money through haram means and eat halal food. Mm-hmm. And not understanding that this also has an effect. And I think you mentioned the fact that the topic is halal food, but I think more important is where that money is coming from to buy that
again
food.
I think you mentioned it many times as well that, you know, in a young age we take our children for Jummah Salah, but not for the five salah.
Yeah.
Now, in a young age, we teach our children not to eat pork, not to drink alcohol, but we don't teach them, maybe not everyone, but we don't teach them how we should earn halal money. I've heard it from my own ears, yeah, that, you know, a father teaching his son, putar, if you don't do haram and cheat and do all this, you're not going to earn.
Gonna
his words were in Punjabi, they go, ਭੁੱਖਾ ਮਰਸੇ ਜੇ ਨਾ ਝੂਠ ਮਰਸੇ ਤਾਂ ਫਰਾਡ ਨਾ ਕਰਸੇ ਤਾਂ ਤੌਫੀਕ ਭਾਈ
People do normally be concerned about what they're eating, but the earning part is something we neglect.
Yeah.
And you know, even if you talk about that chapter here, that you know, the main things, the haram businesses that will come to your mind will be alcohol, bribery, cheating, them type of things. But even in a halal business,
there's haram
income as well.
Yeah.
Now, depending on the intention of the individuals or what he's doing, shortcuts he's trying to find to get more money. And I'll give you an example of one of the great Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, who has millions of following around the world even today as well. He was one of the great traders, a big businessman as well as being the great Imam in the Islamic field. And one of his a person with him called Sayyidina Hafs bin Abdul Rahman rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he used to take part in his business, he used to help out. Once Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi told him to go to that certain place with your goods, and however when you go with these cloths, make sure you mention these defects of this particular cloth to the person who wants to buy it. So he said, that's fine. So Sayyidina Hafs rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi once sold the goods, and he forgot to tell the buyer about the defects, the faults. And later on, when Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi found out that he didn't tell the buyer about the faults, in return, you can say as a kafara or as an expiation, Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he gave the amount of all the clothes that was sold from that particular moment.
Allah,
he gave that amount in charity.
Allah.
This shows you Abu Buzurgan al-Din, the pious Muslims, they were very careful. Now leave haram to one side, they were careful about the doubtful.
My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, our topic for today is earning halal money and also eating halal as well.
You know, Hafiz Sahib, you mentioned that you know people don't think about earning halal income. And like Tawfiq Bhai mentioned, that even when they are in a so-called halal business, even then they're earning haram. I remember once there was a set of taxi drivers we took on a Madri Kafla. And we took them on a Madri Kafla. They'd never been on a Madri Kafla before, the first time they'd been on a Madri Kafla. And during the Waqfa-i Iram, the rest period, they're sitting there talking to each other. And I was like resting, and I was overhearing what they were saying. And they were discussing how much they fiddled the price.
Allahu Akbar.
And I like perked up and I said, what are you doing? And they explained to us, and they didn't realize they were doing wrong, half a sub.
They thought they've done it.
And I said to them, look, don't you realize that's haram? And they said, but brother, look, if we charge the company rates, we're not going to make any money. We have to do this to make some money. So what we're discussing here is that we all fiddle the same amount. And I'm going, well, hold on a minute, you can't do that. So a lot of people have this mentality, and I think, you know, we mentioned it so many times, Officer, about the Madri channel and everywhere, that even when you are doing what you think is halal, you know, if you have any doubt, then ask the scholars. And before you start any business, whatever business you want to do, you might think this business is halal, but you'll be surprised at the number of businesses that are currently being run around the world, they are from haram income.
Ji. And you know what is, you know, you said a beautiful thing, ask the Mufti Sahab, but I know if I ask Mufti Sahib, he's going to say no.
He's going to say it's haram.
Yeah. But so what am I going to do?
But that's your nafs, isn't it? You know, the thing is like, Hafsab, if you ask someone, you know, is my namaz correct? Yeah. And you might be embarrassed.
Yeah.
Right? You might realize, oh, you're making a silly mistake. And you know what you feel? But think to yourself that once you've asked the Imam Sahib, once you've been embarrassed in front of him, yeah? But for the rest of your life, you're living in peace, that what I'm doing is halal, I'm reading my namaz properly, what my income is halal, and more importantly, on the Day of Judgment, you won't be ashamed.
There's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Tawfiq Bhai. I'll mention the hadith and then I want you to be carrying on from that. You know, sometimes people think that they've done it, they made a lot of money, but what they are doing is, you know, another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, again in Bukhari Sharif. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that the flesh and body that is raised on unlawful sustenance shall not enter paradise. Hell is more deserving to the flesh that grows on to one's body of out of unlawful sustenance. So you're not only putting yourself into that danger, you're raising up a whole family with haram, and do you expect your children to be obedient to you?
Hafsab, it's right, you know, if you look at the consequences of haram, yeah, it's very scary. And one of them is that a person who eats haram, you know, he puts a morsel of one bite of food in his stomach, for him, for his 40 days amal, his actions are not accepted in the court
Allah
of
Allah.
And it is mentioned that our Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam reported to have said that fire is better for the person who has consumed haram and riba.
Allah.
And in other words, that person is deserving to go to hell. This is our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying about that individual who is consuming haram. And in many other narrations as well, it is mentioned that his du'as are unaccepted. Yeah, so, and not just this, I was listening to a scholar and he was mentioning that sometimes when pious people do dua, when they make a dua for a particular calamity or a problem that people are facing, even the during that dua of the pious people, the Siddiqeen, dua may be accepted, but it won't be accepted for their favor who eat or consume haram.
Astaghfirullah. You know, you just take this as an example, this pandemic that we've got. You know, we've got Awliya-i-Kiram, Amir al-Sunnah, many Awliya-i-Kiram, Ulama-i-Kiram, many pious people making dua every single day. You know, that is a very, very big test in itself, that these pious people are making dua, but because, as they say, that because the people's behavior, attitude has changed so much, you know, we are still in that imtihan, you know, of this pandemic. And I just want to mention as well, Khalid Bey, you know, there might be people watching, but they've got this thing, you know, as you say, embedded in their minds. You know, if we don't cheat, we don't do fiddle the system, we're going to be in doubt. And at this moment of time, you know, I'll be honest with you, you know, a lot of people, they're on furlough. Yeah. Now, we've got a certain, you know, group of people, also the Marigian, we only used to write £120, I say 80% of that. I say, the Kakuni Bachanga, what did you do before?
Yeah.
You know, you thought that that's it, you're making a lot of money. Why are you know, putting your hands in? And then what's going to happen is, you know, this is just a simple test in the dunya. The akhirat test, the grave test is still there.
Well, you know, your sustenance is written for you. You know, kadara dana dana pe likha khane wale kunam. It's written for you. But in this dunya, we're running after that thing that has been guaranteed for us. Yeah? You know, if you are destined to make £1 million, you will get that £1 million. And if you're not destined, no matter what you do, you won't get it. So if you are going to do it, at least go in a halal way. And you know, I think you touched upon it, and Tawfiq Bhai touched upon it as well, that basically what people don't realize is the one is the damage you're causing to your akhirat. But in a lot of cases, you see the effect here. I've seen, you mentioned the fact that people earn haram income, yeah? And they come home and they buy halal food for the family. They go and buy, you know, the rice and the chawal and the lentils and the meat and everything, and they think that they're giving halal food to the family. But what happens is, because that's earned with haram money, down the line, it has its effect. And I've seen it in families, where families are broken, astaghfirullah, even children have gone away from the faith of Islam, and you think to yourself, you know, there's such a good family, such a nice family, why has this happened? And if you look into it, that, you know, for 20 years, the father was at an alcohol shop. He was selling, you know, he had a wine shop, he had an off license. And for 10 years, he had a pub and a club, and for 10 years, he was selling this and he was selling that. And that affects our families. And people, like you say, think to themselves that unless I do it, I can't survive. You know, that is completely false views of Madhini Channel, that whatever is rizq is written for you. Think to yourself. I remember Abdul Abibai beautifully mentioned this to me once. And he said that rizq is written for those people who disobey Allah Azza wa Jal. Rizq is written for those people who are non-Muslims. Do you think that rizq is not written for those people that obey Allah Azza wa Jal and follow Allah Azza wa Jal?
Yeah.
So again, there's a message there for us, Afisab, that we need. And I think the other thing is, I'm sorry I'm taking you off the topic and I'll stop you there, Afisab.
No.
But I've got a bad habit of doing this. I think the other problem is we're not content with what we've got. Because we're not content with what we want, we want more. And when we want more, because we can't get it through halal means, we have to look at it through haram means to get it.
There's a very beautiful story that a group of people are traveling in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, and they come across this fire worshipper. And they give him invitation towards Islam. They sit with him. He's got a few questions. And they answer his questions. And he recites the kalima and he becomes a Muslim. And these people were going towards Hajj. So this pious person, the group of pious people, the person, he said that, is it possible I can go with you guys? And they said, why not, come with us. So he joined them, they went on Hajj and they came back. Now when they left him, one of the person gave him some money. And he goes, here, take this money, you'll need it. You know what that new Muslim said? He goes, when I did not believe in Allah, He was still feeding me.
Allahu
Akbar. Do you think Allah Ta'ala is going to forsake Allahu and abandon Akbar. Me now Allahu when I believe Akbar. In Him? You know, the thing is, we've got a beautiful deen. Allah Ta'ala, He has written your risk even before Allah. You were born. If Allah Ta'ala can give you the life that you are 39, 40, 45 years old, Allah is the one who gave you that risk and you are here today. How do you think that Allah Ta'ala is going to, you know, abandon you and forget Allah you?
Allah. Also, it's quite sad to hear and see people who are involved in haram businesses or haram income. They're so much attached to it that they don't want to get out.
Mm.
You know, once I made an intention to, you know, get this brother away from a particular haram business, and I couldn't get hold of him, so I went to that particular place, and I said, today I'm going to give him an invitation. I'm going to tell him to look, please leave this place, and you know, you got a lot of intellect, mashallah, you got a lot of wisdom. Use that and find a nice business for your own family. I went to that place and it was just a matter of a few minutes. I said as-salam to him, looked at, you know, have an initial discussion. And in that discussion, what he said, that this shop's running really well and I'm looking to find another place.
Takes band.
And I thought, you know, what do I say to this
Allah
person?
Akbar.
What do I say to this person that he wants to expand? You know, he's not ready yet. His mindset is
I think that's the thing by a lot of people, though. They don't even realize that's haram. And I think it's our duty to at least tell them that, look, this is haram, that's our job done.
The sad thing is, a lot of people do know it's wrong. Deep down, they do know. It's just a greed for wealth.
You know, sometimes they say, I was inviting an Islamic brother and I goes, look, you know, there's Allah Ta'ala, He's the one. You believe in that, don't you? You know, in Pakistan, you know, you have people make beautiful kotiyan. And you know what's written outside? Wallahu khayrul raziqeen. Allah is the one who provides sustenance.
Yes.
If Allah Ta'ala, you believe in that, and no doubt every Muslim believes in that, then why do you have to do all these haram things for? And you know what they say? Oh, Agu that person goes, oh, tu sa maulvi hai kaise na bata? Eh, asa gulo puchho jare mentang karne ya? Asa jangla jare ne ya?
Sometimes it's not just about, you know, earning fast money or look for the wealth, but sometimes it's the society around them, their own culture. Either it's a friend circle or peer pressure from the family members, etc., where, you know, if they don't earn a certain threshold, they will be looked down at.
Yeah,
and they have a lot of pressure on you know, compared to the rest of the family. And it's an unfortunate thing. Yeah, but even if you're stuck in those scenarios, you know, look, as a Muslim, you know, look, you have to look towards your akhirat. You know, you cannot please people by displeasing Allah.
But that still comes back, though, Tawfiq Bhai, to the fact that you and your family are not content with what you got. They've got a 7-seater car, we need a 7-seater car. They've got a semi-detached house, we need a semi-detached house. They did, you know, 20 tola, 30 tola, 40 tola on the daughter, we need to do 40, 50, 60 tola. It's not being content with what you have. And you know, you mentioned that story, and when you were mentioning that story about the person that went on Hajj, I've got a similar story, and it might be the same story possibly, that there was this new Muslim that went on Hajj. And they decided to go on Hajj, not by air, but by traveling, right? And what they did is they went stage by stage and they earned money. And so they went and they were fruit picking one day and they were cleaning another day and they'd get a ticket and then move forward. And at one place they did fruit picking and they made loads of money that day, yeah? And that night they went to a cafe and they had a big meal and they had cakes and pastries and drinks and coffees and everything there, yeah? And there were some other people there. They were Muslims as well. They were talking to them. And they said to them that, you know, we're going on the Hajj, and they explained to them everything. And they looked at them and thought, but if you're making this journey in this way, why are you having such a lavish meal? Surely you could have just had a little bit, you know, one plate and this and that, and save something for tomorrow. And beautiful answer he gave. He said, if I save something for tomorrow, then Allah will give me nothing tomorrow.
Allahu Akbar.
Yeah? Meaning that, spend whatever I've got in the way of Allah and buy myself, you know, tomorrow will come.
You know, today a lot of people they're saying that you know, our income, all these kind of things, we're going through a lot of problems and all this kind of stuff. You know, you need to just think to yourself that Allah Azza wa Jal is the provider of risk wherever you are. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was once going through the jungle And he said that, Ya Allah Azawajal, show me a sign. You know, show me something really strange. So Allah Ta'ala, he says, Oh Musa, hit your staff on this stone. And Musa alayhi salatu wa salam hit the staff on the stone, and the stone was broken into pieces, and a small insect came out of there. So Musa alayhi salam, you know, he said, Ya Allah, he thought to himself, what's the point for this purpose of creation of this insect? And Allah Ta'ala, he says that, Oh Musa, I have created this insect for my worship. You look at the zikr that he is doing, and I provide rizq to him. Now if Allah Ta'ala can provide rizq to a small insect in a stone, can Allah Ta'ala not provide rizq to you? You are ashraful makhlukat. And then what happens, Khalid bhai, is sometimes when people go through these kind of things, there's this waqia, I've mentioned this story a few times in my bayans as well, and it's really shocking. And you know, greed, how he overtakes a person, and how a beautiful family, you know, happy, prosperous family is destroyed. One day, husband and wife, they have a meeting, and they've got people who are advising them as well. So these husband and wife, they're having a meeting, and they say, you know what, things are really getting harder at the moment. Why not apply for grant the government is giving, where if I say that we live separately, you can go to another house, we'll get this 80-90 pounds, we'll live happily ever after. So again, they started asking people, but again, they asked the wrong people, and they said, brilliant idea, do it. So what happened was, you know, they don't realize what the consequences is. They did get the 80-90 pounds a week. You know, I think party on, you know, we've done it, we've cracked it, we've made a fool out of them, we've got this money. Within 3 months, they had an argument, and they got split up, and they were divorced. That money did not bring them happiness. It broke up that beautiful home, the family.
But on the same, even those who have done this, and they're not broken up at the moment, if they wrote, you know, on the official papers that they're separate, and I really recommend them on the first instance, they should go and see a Mufti Sahib and tell them about their case, because it can affect their own nikah as well.
But even on that, you know, you're talking about nikah is one thing, yeah? But even one step further than that, Hafsa, people of, to get into this country, they've written on, you know, they've got political asylum, they said that they're a different faith, they said that they're not Muslims, they said they are persecuted people in these Muslim countries, and they've even paid newspapers, yeah, to put articles in the newspaper that, oh, there was a shooting that this person was shot at because he is this, from this group of people, or he's from this faith, and he's having to save his life. And so he comes to this country, tells people that, look, I'm not a Muslim, I'm this, where I've been persecuted, please give me political asylum. They give them political asylum, and in the same way that you mentioned, and you mentioned, Afisab, that ultimately what happens is, somewhere down the line, the effect of that lie comes on them. You know, my blessed father, he used to say to me, jhoot bolne wale ke pair nahi hote. Yeah, he used to say that if you tell a lie, sooner or later you'll get caught. And these people that lie so that they can get a haram income, lie so they can get a visa, lie so they can get anything else, sooner or later they will get caught, and sooner or later they'll see the effects of it. And if they don't see the effects, if you are one of those lucky ones, so-called lucky ones, that you get away with it in this dunya, you're not going to get away with it in the akhirat.
And that's what we need to worry about. And, you know, the people are not even thinking of the consequences. Let me just mention a verse from the Quran. He says that Allah Ta'ala is subtle with His servants. He gives provisions to whom He wills, and He is the powerful, the exalted in might. You know, and you got to remember that Allah is the one who gives you the risk. Maybe, you know, it's a test for the people that who have a lot of risk, who have a lot of money. Don't think to yourself that this risk was given to me because I'm very clever, made a businessman, I can touch gold, and I can touch the, you know, stone and it turns into gold. You know, I can do that and this will happen. It's nothing what you have done, it's what Allah Ta'ala was written for you. And now, how are you going to spend that? Are you going to spend it on lavish cars, lavish life, parties, you know, ma'azallah, haram things? Or are you going to feed the people when they are in need? That's what you need to understand.
Alhamdulillah, we are Muslims. And Islam is a full code of life. It's a way of life. And it gives us guidance on all the aspects of a human being. And in that case, Islam promotes us to go out and earn livelihood. It is mentioned in the Hadith Pak, the purest food is that which you eat from your own earning. And regarding the halal rizq, there's a beautiful narration which mentions that undoubtedly a Muslim tajir, a Muslim businessman, is a beloved of Allah.
Subhanallah.
And there's a beautiful narration that it is mentioned that Jannah, heaven is for the one who has pure earnings.
Subhanallah.
Look at the blessings that Allah you can receive. And if you're looking for other solutions, haram income, and you're going to be deprived from this.
But Tawfiq, obviously I can only speak from this country. And you mentioned, Afsad, that if you've got a business, then people think that, you can't be successful in a business unless you do haram. The problem is it's so easy to do haram. Mm. And that's what makes it appealing, so to speak, people have got a cash business. You mentioned that person that how did he do that? Because it was a cash income. He was a taxi driver or whatever he was. And so because people are on those people that are making cash, they're earning £300, £400, £500, and there's nobody, or they think there's nobody watching them. Allah is watching them. They think nobody's watching them, so they can write whatever they want. I only work 3 days this week. You know, very rarely do you see taxi drivers who put down that they are full-time taxi drivers. All of them are part-time taxi drivers, most of them.
Yeah.
Because they show less earnings. Those people that are making cash, and why it's so easy. I remember, Hafsa, when I started my business, and you know, this was before I was in the Mahol, and you're starting to look for ways to obviously make a little bit more money. But in one way, I was fortunate because my business wasn't a cash business, right? So all my money that I made, it went straight into the bank. It was paid into the bank. So I couldn't like fiddle the system. So I look back and I think, shukr, I couldn't, because it is so easy to do the haram. And that's what makes it harder for people. But what people need to realize is that is a test in itself. That earning your income is a test. And that is a test for you, whether you declare it or you don't declare it. Because every money that you do not declare, or you say that you've earned and you've not shown it, then effectively it's haram.
I want to share a story of a strange person.
MashaAllah.
Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, once he went out to search for a halal sustenance, and he went to a city called Tarsus. And as he reached there, a person approached him and said to him that, do you want a job? And that's exactly what he was looking for. So he said yes. He said, I've got an opportunity. I own a fruit orchard, and if you want, you could come and look after it. I need a farmer. And so he said yes, I'm ready. So he took that job, and he says that I worked with great dedication, hard work. I looked after his orchard, and later on, time passed. One day, the owner of the garden came, and he had some friends with him as well, and he said to Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, that can you go please bring the best quality of grapes from the farm, and I want to present it to my guests. So listening to this, Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he went there, and what he did, instead of bringing the sweet ones, he bought loads of grapes, on different bunch of grapes. So, like they say, quite them with toss, Yeah, he bought quite a few bunches of grapes, and he presented them to the owner. And the owner, he took the first bite, and as a coincidence, the first grape that he had, instead of being sweet, it was bitter.
Allahu Akbar.
And he became angry, and he said to the farmer, "No, you've been working here for so long now. You still don't know the difference between a sweet and bitter grape.
Allah.
Now what do? You've been eating here, you always eat here all the time." Yeah, that's what the owners will probably expect. This person probably eats here all the time, and he still hasn't learned the art of what is bitter, what is sweet. And on this, Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi ta'ala said that, "By Allah, I have not tasted even a single grape from this garden of
Allah." Allah.
Allah.
He's been working there for so long.
Allah.
He said, "I did not even touch one grape from here." On this, the extreme, I mentioned here the strange. What that was, that they had a little conversation, and the owner said that he's talking to his friend, that this person, is so strange, he's so unique, that he's worked here for so long, has never touched a grape. It seems that this person, he has them qualities of Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham.
Allah.
Rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. In other words, the owner didn't know
that he was this person.
And then they had a conversation, and then the Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham continued to carry on with his work. And this shows that these great people, you know, of Islam, these great beacons of light, they are a means of guidance for us. And you know, if their lifestyle is such that we should act upon them, you know, this is the message again, you know, earn halal.
Tafiq bhai, I want to touch on the grapes you said. You know, if you go to, you know, even Pakistan here as well, you go to a shop here, angur kitne hain, you know, they take a few, khai, buy the kilo. Them 3-4 grapes that you eaten for, are they halal for you?
And not only grapes, they'll pick up almonds, they'll pick up pista.
I'll be what happened was, I'm just trying to control myself as well. We went to Medina Sharif into a date, and market. You know, some people came into the shop and they were testing khujura. And he's like, ye test karo. And they were from UK, you know, educated people. So the guy goes, okay, so he, you know, the kaigi of say to the, you know, the thing is that what we are eating without the permission of the person? Are they halal for you? This is another thing. You know, people go, they eat, and so many times it happens. You know what happens? The other thing is that these might be poor bechare, you know, that's their livelihood, just selling grapes. And what people do is, I've seen it on first hand, yeah, where people have eaten the grapes as well. You know, they've taken a bunch of the grapes, and when he says 20 rupee kilo, and now, ma'azallah, you're blaming that person, you're belittling him, even that is haram.
But even if he's poor or not poor, that still doesn't give you an excuse to do what that person did.
You know, sometimes the person on the other side of the tail, he might say, take, you know, have some.
If they say,
but that person on the other side of the tail is he the owner?
Yes.
Or has he been given the permission?
That's another beautiful one. You know, okay, it relates to, after we're going to come to a farmaish, but this is a beautiful waqia. Amir Ahle Sunnah sitting on a plane, and a lot of people were outside Lahore Airport, and everyone thought, why is he so busy today? And someone said, oh, Amir Ahle Sunnah is here in Lahore, he's flying back to Karachi. So the pilot, he finds out Amir Ahle Sunnat is sitting in our plane. He goes, I want to go and meet him. So he goes to Amir Ahle Sunnat and he says, you know, please come up, I'm going to give you the first class seat. And Bapa, he says, are you the owner of the plane? Or who are you? And he goes, I'm the pilot. He goes, do you have the authority to upgrade my seat to a first class? And he goes, no. He goes, then Putar, I'm sorry, I'll stay here.
I don't want
you to get into trouble. And
You mentioned something early on that made me think about, I think you said something about someone that had earned haram income. There's a hadith here. As you were talking, this came in front of me. It said that the person who buys a cloth with 10 dirhams, and if one dirham out of them is haram, Allah Azza wa Jal will not accept any of his salah until any portion of that cloth remains in his use. In another hadith, an angel of Allah Azza wa Jal every day and night proclaims on the right, on the roof of Baitul Muqaddas, whoever consumes haram, Allah Azza wa Jal will neither accept any of his fard nor any of his nafal. And when I read that, it reminded me of many, many years ago, Afsab. There was a businessman I knew. And you know, like we're talking earlier on, that people think they're very, very clever when they've fiddled the system. This person, he fiddled the system to the extent of £1 million.
Allah.
Right? And I remember him showing me the checks of £333,000 each. That is the first one, the second one. So he fiddled the system out of £1 million. And he thought he was very happy. And it appeared that he had a big Mercedes car. He moved into a big house and everything. And I lost contact with him. And then I saw him about 10 years later. And he said to me, Putar, remember that fiddle that I did? I said, yeah. He said, my life was hell after that.
Allahu Akbar.
His own words were, until every penny of that haram income that I had in my household had gone, I had no peace. No peace whatsoever.
Allahu Akbar.
And people don't realize that.
You know, this is about earning halal as well. You know, even Tawfiq bhai, people will go to supermarkets, they'll buy the food, but they won't even check what type of ingredients they're in as well. Hazrat Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, someone asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's companion Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that your du'as are accepted in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Can you tell us the secret behind that? You know, sometimes people say, my du'as are not accepted. Maybe there is a reason. Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, I do not raise to my mouth a morsel,
Allah
except
Allah,
that I know where it came from.
Allah,
he goes,
Allah,
that I don't eat haram. Today people going to the supermarkets, they say, it's not written there. You know what they do? If you ask them, please read properly, they won't read it properly. Why? Because they know they're going to find in bullet points that it's haram.
But I remember, you know, it's amazing, every time you say something, a story comes to my mind, that I remember we went shopping at one of these stores, and they sell sandwiches, you know, pre-packed sandwiches.
Yeah.
And as we were coming out, me and the mother of my daughter, we were coming out, and there were two Muslim children there, and they were eating sandwiches. And I saw, as I was going past, I glanced and I saw that one of them had chicken something on it. So I said to the Bachunkim, I said, look, that's if them are Muslim children, then that's haram. So, and she went back, asked them their names, gave them salam and everything, and she said to them, stop eating this. And they stopped, thankfully, and she waited there. She stood there, because what happened, the parents had gone shopping, they left the kids there with a sandwich to eat, yeah? They bought them some sandwiches, left them there, so she waited for them to come back, and when they came back, she said to the parent, look, do you realise that this is haram? And the mother said, oh, well, we're sorry, we made a mistake, we didn't realise, and we weren't sure, and the kids just wanted a sandwich, so we quickly bought them. That's not good enough. You can't just quickly buy things and quickly. You need to take this time. And like you said, unfortunately, Hafiz Abis, people don't want to know, right? But it's your duty to know. You can't, on the day of judgment, say, oh, I didn't have time to see whether that biscuit was halal or not. I didn't have time to check whether that chocolate was halal or not. I didn't have time to check whether this...
You know what people will say, Halal Bhai? Allah maaf karne ala. To some only,
Allah maaf karne ala. Yes, without doubt, Allah will forgive. But Allah will punish you unless you sincerely repent from the sins that you have committed. Allah will forgive you, but you will also be punished as well.
It is Allah who has set the boundaries. What is halal, it is clear. What is haram, it is clear. You talked about Allah muaf karne wala. I want to mix these both topics of forgiveness and eating halal by a narration quoted by Sayyidina Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. He says that some saints have said that when a Muslim eats the first morsel of his halal food, his previous sins are forgiven.
Allah.
And the person who goes to a place of humiliation in search of halal sustenance, his sins fall like the leaves of a tree.
MashaAllah.
Look at the blessings.
Subhanallah.
Now you're eating halal, look, Allah Almighty, what is He giving you in return? Sins are being forgiven.
SubhanAllah.
Again, it's amazing, you say things and it brings things to my mind. You mentioned about the fact that that person that had his du'as accepted, yeah? And there's another hadith where a companion came to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said to him, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, make du'a that Allah azza wa jal answers my du'as. Yeah? And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, purify your food and your du'as will be answered.
SubhanAllah.
And maybe viewers of Mandir Channel, maybe that's, you know, we say it so many times, but I don't think we realize this, that whenever we are facing a problem in this dunya, whenever we're facing a difficulty, be it at home, with our family, with our income and everything, the source of the problem is maybe that person that you look at when you stand up in front of the mirror every day. And maybe that's the source of the problem.
You know, scholars mentioned, it's like a little tester you could do at home. A tester that we can do at home to feel or to understand that our prayers, worships, fasting, are they accepted in the court of Allah or not? And the scholars say that if you want to know if your ibadat are accepted, then look at your earning. If your earning is halal, then inshallah your ibadat are accepted. And if your earning is haram, then your ibadat are rejected. And it's a time that we all reflect upon this, and we need to fear. Let's make a sincere tawbah, repent in the court of Allah Almighty, and inshallah make a firm intention that we will never touch haram again in our life.
MashaAllah.
Another thing that, you know, we want to touch upon is also the jobs that we do. You know, sometimes a person thinks, well, if I work as a caretaker, if I work as a cleaner, people are going to make fun of me. I would rather go and earn haram and work in a place where people are, you know, they'll respect me. I'll have to wear the suit, the tie, and people will respect me. But there is a saying of the scholars that a person who works in a place of, if a person works in a place of
honor and respect,
of disrespect, then people won't like you. For example, yeah. You work as a cleaner. So it goes, a person who works there and his intention is to earn halal money, then if I'm wrong, may Allah Ta'ala, I won't want to say it, but it's a very, very big reward
honorable
in the
position.
Court of Allah Azza wa Jal for that person to be working in that. You know, if someone wants to find haram means and just to earn respect in the society or in his particular culture, what are you going to do with that respect? You know, when people are happy with you, but your Allah is angry with you. What's the point? Where are you going to take that wealth with you?
But nowadays, Tawfiq, by people respect those people that have money, irrespective of where that money comes from. It's a fact that we are facing nowadays that a person, a young lad, he's 20, 25, 24, he's driving around in a £40,000 car, he's bought himself a semi-detached house or a detached house, yeah, and there's a good chance, well, you shouldn't say, but there is a good chance that, and people do know that that person's earned it from haram income. And yet people respect that person, people look up to that person. People, you know, that, you know, when that person gives them money in the masjid, they accept it. I remember, I was working away from home. And when I'm working away from home, it's very hard to find halal food. And I remember that there is, I don't want to say who it is, but there's one people from a certain country that through my experience, unfortunately, whenever I've gone to their restaurants and their takeaways, they have admitted that the food is not halal, even though they are Muslims. So I went looking for food one day and I saw this place and it was one from that particular country. So I started walking away and something happened to the restaurant owner. He understood my mind and he came and he said, "Do you think my food's haram?" And I said, "Did I say that?" He said, "No, come inside." So he called me inside and he showed me the certificates to prove that all his food was halal. And I've said we were in the middle, literally in the middle of nowhere. It was a small village. I was working miles away from anywhere. There was hardly any shops there. And I said to Mazurda, why are you living here? Yeah, it's the middle of nowhere. I can't see any masjid anywhere. I can't see anything up anywhere. He said, I was in a big city and one day the Imam Saab was asked the question that if, you know, we sell alcohol, you know, is it halal or is it haram? And yeah, I won't even call him an Imam Saab, I won't even call him a Mulana, but that person that was stood in the masjid said to him that, you know what, if from that prophet you give some to the masjid, then it's halal. And so again, the problem is, Tawfiq, but we've got misguided scholars as well. And he said to me, because of that saying, I left that city, decided to live here in the middle of nowhere to save my iman. So again, you know, make sure that you ask the right scholars. You see it so many times, Hafiz, have you had that experience where people have divorced their wives, yeah? Mm-hmm. And they pick up your mouth, Saab, is it a divorce? Yes. Okay. Is it a divorce? Yes. Is it a divorce? Yes. Is it a divorce? Yes. Until they get one person on the phone, yeah, well, you know, okay, Tige, you know, if you go to a different town and do the Nakada and don't, oh, yeah, see, he's right. He's the person right. See, I was talking to him. You're not going to reputable scholars to ask this question. You're going to a scholar to get the answer that you want. You're not going to the scholar at all, like you said.
You know, sometimes you do get an answer from so-called scholars. It's nothing to do with the Imam Saab. They've done a haram thing, and you know, he's done something that was really bad, and now the scholar is saying something to him that as if he's, ma'azallah, he's the one who runs the Sharia.
Whoever that person is, you know, even if he's a so-called scholar, if he's an elder person in the family, you know, if you're making these statements, yeah, and you'll be held accountable in the court of Allah.
It's a big thing to say, yeah, that, you know. I was shocked when I heard that.
We went on a kafla of Saab. I think we were in Australia, and there we met, was it Australia? It was one, either Australia or New Zealand. We met somebody there, and he said to me, we're talking about the problems that the Muslims are facing over there, and he says to us, the problem that we're facing here is gangster scholars.
Allah.
I said, what's a gangster scholar? Because I've never heard that term before. I've never heard that before. I mean, maybe there are some of our viewers have heard it. So I said to him, what's a gangster scholar? He said, oh, it's these people that have been in jail, yeah? And they come out of jail, and all of a sudden they wear a cap, and they wear a jubbah, and they're on the mimbar now doing speeches, and they don't know anything about Islam, and yet they're speaking to people, and they're misguiding people.
Sahaba Ikram, you know, they asked, and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would say that you're eating halal, you know, it makes a big effect on your ibadat as well. You know, sometimes we think, why is it that I don't like offering my namaz? I don't like, you know, reading the Quran. Whenever I sit down to read the Quran, maybe there's something else that is wrong with it. It's not that because, you know, my heart isn't there. It's maybe what I've got in my stomach, Allah, you know, what I'm being, you know, the blood that runs into my body. If that is from halal, haram income, then obviously we're not going to get any, you know, any blessings from that as well. We don't realize and understand how important this is. This is not just about making food at home. This is not just about going to work. It's about your iman, the most precious thing that Allah
has given. It becomes a habit, Hafiz Saab. I was reading the other day that, you know, when a person commits a sin, the scholars of the past say that when a person commits a sin, effectively you're planting a seed in the ground.
Allah.
And what they're saying is that you should straight away repent. Because once you put a seed in the ground, it is easy to take that seed of the ground, out of the ground. If you don't repent on that seed, what it becomes, it starts to spread. And the longer you leave the repentance, the further and further the roots go. And the longer you leave that repentance, one, it becomes harder for you to repent. Because why?
that sin has become part of you.
You know, for those people, you know, Halibi, you mentioned about them selling alcohol. You know, how Hazrat Sayyidina Ali Karamullahu Ta'ala Wajahul Kareem, you know, hates alcohol. He says that if one drop of alcohol falls into a river and the river dries up and grass grows from that ground, I will not let my animals graze from there. And if that were, you know, if someone was to build a minaret on that, I would not stand and give azan there.
But what is it? It was the iman of the people at that time, though, wasn't it? That you mentioned the iman of the people. That, you know, if you read about pre-Jahiliyyah times, there were people that used to drink alcohol all the time. But as soon as the command came, it is said that the streets, were flooded with alcohol. People just broke them and flooded it, and they didn't think to themselves, oh, I've got this, I can sell it, oh, I can give it as a gift. No, it's haram, I don't want anything to do with it. And so, you know, the question is really that, weren't them people, you know, them people that sold alcohol at that time, as soon as they realized it was haram, they disposed of it. Did they not have families? They did not have stomachs to feed. They did not have houses. Did they not have clothes that they needed? They were not like, you're right, they were superhuman beings in the sense that they were better than any of us, but at the same time they were human beings and they had wants and needs, they had stomachs, but they survived.
You know, Allah Ta'ala mentions in Surah Jumu'ah, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu idha nudiya lis salati min yawmil jumu'ati fas'u ila dhikrillahi wa dharul bay' dhalikum khayrul lakum in kuntum ta'lamun fa idha qudiyatis salatu fantashiru fil ard. That after salat, go and look for the sustenance of Allah. And then there is another saying of the scholars that they say that a person, you know, it is compulsory for him. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, verily, actions are judged according to the intention. So if you've gone out to work with that intention that no matter what happens, I'm going to earn haram money. You know what happens, Khalid bin, as I was listening to Amir al-Sunnah's bayan, and he says that the sins of the parents, you know, we can rub off onto the children.
Yes.
You know, like you mentioned, the parents are there, stood in the shop, you know, raking all this earning from haram money. You know, you're selling this alcohol to someone else's children. And, you know, do you not think that your children will be in there? I talked to one person who did sell alcohol, and he says that, you know, this is so true. I was selling it to people, my children were drinking it in the shop.
Allah.
What goes around comes around.
I pray to Allah that every child, boy or girl, Madani Munna Munia, that's watching this program, becomes a Mubaligh or a Mubaligh of Dawud Islam,
inshallah. Ameen. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al Habib.
Sallallahu
ala
Muhammad.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Islam is the way of life. Islam is the way of life. Islam is the way. Islam is the way of life. Islam is the way.